Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so I'll look for something to pop up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Follow yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
So, all right, Dan, you know, I haven't had to do this in a while, but I definitely need to start today's podcast out with an apology. I definitely need to apologize to Andrew McCutchen because I put him in my FanDuel lineup last night, and sadly my guy went out and got hurt, and it looks like they're talking about it not being good. They listed it as a strained knee last night. But he had an MRI today, and I haven't heard the results yet, but I just heard a teaser for it that said it was not good for the Phillies. So I killed Andrew, killed one of my favorite guys.
Oh, that's what you do.
Yeah, you know, because I can't remember who I was trying to decide between him and somebody else, and I went with him, and apparently I should have went with the other guy, and McCutchen would have been just fine. But, yeah, that's just how things go for me. So we'll see. I'll have to see if I can actually run down what what they described it as, if he tore something or, you know, did something else where he's going to miss a significant amount of time. But yeah, I definitely feel like it's all my fault. So, we'll see if I can scare something up as my internet pops along here, and hopefully I can come up with something. So. Oh, but anyways, moving on now, Dan, you know, they had the draft last night, and now I think just about everything I've turned on, especially if they're talking about baseball, they just want to talk about where Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell are going to sign, and apparently the Yankees are the front runners for Keuchel, and I got to tell you, Dan, if he signs in that little ballpark, I know he's a ground ball pitcher. He is going to get lit up in his home start at Yankee Stadium. So I actually kind of feel bad for the Yankees if they go out and they do something like that. Besides the fact that Boris is still proclaiming the fact that they don't want a one-year deal and they still want a multi-year deal. So I think a team would be incredibly stupid if they went more than this year with him. But yeah, if he ends up in that tiny little frickin' Yankee Stadium, he is done. So
you like the idea of him going there?
Sure, if he wants to get shelled. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I definitely can't see him having any success, you know, maybe on the road. And I know, you know, they're like, well, he's a ground ball pitcher. That'll be a great fit. It doesn't matter what the hell kind of pitcher you're pitching in when you're pitching in a band box. you know, and a guy who is going to be that out of shape and not ready for major league hitters. And don't give me the BS. You know, I already, well, you know, he's been pitching simulated games. Yeah, not even close to what he is getting ready to face. And the sad part is, you know, we like Keuchel here. You know, he's been one of the guys we actually like, but it just, you know, it's just going to be bad, you know, especially a place like that. I don't know if, you know, of course, nowadays where fly balls go out about anywhere, I'm not sure if there's a safe place for him to sign. But, man, in that band box, I just can't see him having any kind of success whatsoever.
Yeah, well, my nephew's been pitching on MLB Show, so he should be ready to go too.
Yes, so you know, that's just kind of how that goes. You know, I think Kimbrel has the better chance to be successful right out of the gate, because you know you're only going to ask him to come in and get three outs. I honestly don't think you can bring him in and go, okay, here, start closing. You know, I definitely think that he's going to have to work up to that, and he's going to have to, you know, to do a little setup work, because, you know, neither of these guys are going to agree to go to extended spring training or anything. And here you go, Dan. McCutchen was diagnosed with a torn ACL, and he is done for the year. So there's the update, and it's worse than I could have even imagined. God, Andrew, I am so sorry, buddy. You know you're my guy, and I sure did it to you yesterday. I completely apologize. So, yeah, well, you know, that kind of, you know, brings us to the question. You know, they did sign Jay Bruce, but obviously, you know, he can't play center field. I'm guessing at this point, do you move Bryce Harper over, or does Scott Kingery become your everyday center fielder?
I think you throw Kingery out there.
So, because I'm trying to think. I know, you know, they don't, you know, my guess is Nick Williams will come back up, because he was the guy sent down when they acquired Jay Bruce. So my guess is he comes back. Let me see if their lineup has been released for tonight and what they're doing yet. But it puts them in a really tough spot. McCutchen was doing really well at the top of the order. So they're going to have to figure out how to replace him there. Come on, where's the Phillies? Oh, they're out west, aren't they? It might not be released yet. So, oh no, it is out. Okay. Tonight it is actually. I have no idea who this is, Dan. What can you tell me about Adam Halsley? He's starting in center field tonight. I can tell you that he's 23 and he hits left-handed. So, but it looks like tonight is going to be his first major league appearance. So, we'll have to see if I can find something out about him here. Kingery's actually playing third base tonight, so. All right. Well, here you go, Dan. They have him listed in Baseball Reference as an outfielder and a starting pitcher. He was hitting .268 in AAA with 7 home runs and 19 RBIs. Do they have any pitching stats for him here? No, he doesn't have any pitching stats, so I don't know why he's listed as the starting pitcher then. So, but yeah, this will be his. And that was actually a double A. Triple A, he was hitting .320, but he only played 6 games there. So yeah, I don't know why he's a starting pitcher when there are no pitching stats for him. But yeah. So there you go. But, yeah, he'll hit eighth and be playing center field for the Phillies today. I don't know if he'll be the permanent solution for now, or if they're, you know, going to try to make another move. You know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Do they got to go out and find somebody else now?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there anybody that they could look for? I mean, do they have some prospects where maybe they could deal with Kevin Pillar or Dugar from the Giants?
Dugar is one of their young guys, so my guess is they would want to hold on to him. But, yeah, I can't see why they couldn't give something up for a Pillar or – I'm sure, after Carlos Gonzalez's day yesterday, I know most people are ready to get rid of Alberto Almora. So maybe the Cubs could, maybe send him there for some prospects.
With the Phillies have going on there, though, for Almora, it might be a great change of scenery.
So, yeah, the sad part is it's too bad John Jay's not healthy, because it would be the perfect deal for the White Sox. That would be a great guy to get them off.
Don't they have any outfielders that they can kind of part with?
Not any veteran guys that they would want to, move around like that. All their outfielders right now are really young, with the exception of John Jay, and he's hurt. I'm trying to think, who's kind of hanging out at the bottom. I don't know if, like a Curtis Granderson fits the bill, if that's something they're looking to possibly add there. The problem with that is I don't know if he could be an everyday center fielder. So to find that guy is the kind of difficult question. But I'm sure, I like the Kevin Pillar pickup is a really good idea. If they would like to head out that way. Cleveland would give Thomas Martin for probably not pretty much if you want to pick up his salary and go that route. But yeah, who else is I'm trying to think who else could be possibly floating around. But, yeah, like they talk a little bit about the Phillies outfielders here, but, they mention guys like Jay Bruce and Sean Rodriguez and, Phil Goslin, who's a utility guy, and then they throw Nick Williams in. The problem with all those guys, and they even throw Jay Bruce in this mix, is none of them can be a full-time center fielder. They're corner outfielders. I know Kingery has played some center. So, maybe they do some kind of platoon with Kingery and Halsey and see if that works out.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was going to be my thing was, are you really wanting to go with a guy like Sean Rodriguez going into a potential playoff World Series run? I would think you'd want to go with somebody that's not so much of a utility player, but a professional center fielder.
Yeah, well, you would think you would at least want one of those guys. I mean, even if you go out and you get a Pillar or somebody like that, I know they like Kingery and they've always been trying to find some place for him to play every day. But, you figure you don't want him in there in the late innings, so maybe he goes out and plays six or seven innings in center, and then you bring the guy who can play defense. So this way Kingery's getting the at-bats that you always want him to, but he's not put in a situation where he can hurt you.
I mean, are they able to pull away? I don't know if they want to go with Ketel Marte. You can try to make a move with them, or, you know, possibly all those.
Yeah, you know, except the sad part is, you know, the Tampa Bay and Arizona look like they're going to contend for wild card spots, so I don't know if they would give guys up. You know, and I don't know if the Phillies are carrying the kind of, you know, the kind of prospects. You know, they're both, I think they're both still arbitration guys. So, you know, you'd be trying to grab guys with years of control left. I don't know if they, you know, if they've got the prospect to pay that price tag. You know, it's too bad the Yankees don't have all their guys healthy. They could go get the guy Clint Frazier and let him play every day.
Now, you know, I'm trying to be as quick as I can. But, you know, I brought up Tampa Bay. I mean, they had a nice little run, but, you know, what are your thoughts about? Do they have anything to make a move to get maybe Kevin Kiermaier?
Yeah, you know, I would wonder if they would consider moving him. Cause, you know, he's a veteran guy, and, you know, I think if they're going to move anybody, he would possibly be the guy they would be okay moving. You know, like, Meadows isn't going anywhere. You know, I don't remember who's playing the other corner spot for them. But, yeah, that's right. Who's actually having a pretty good year.
Oh, no.
So.
Yeah. They have Austin Meadows, Tommy Sam, Kiermaier.
Oh, yeah, Tommy Sam. Gee. So, yeah, I could see maybe, you know, an outside chance of, you know, Kiermaier being a guy they could kind of pluck away. If the deal is right, you do wonder if, like, I don't know, I mean, being that it's the same division, probably not, but I wonder if the Mets would give them, like, a Juan Liguera, you know, because he could be the good fit there. Obviously, he's not going to hit, but he's a great defender. You know, and the Mets do kind of have an overcrowded outfield. So I don't know if that would be something they could possibly work out. I was trying to think if the Royals have any veteran guys that could play center. I doubt they would, you know, unless they bowled them over to get Billy Hamilton, I doubt Kansas City would move him because, you know, he's doing pretty well there and they've got him on a really good deal. But I guess for the right offer, they might move him because I think he's only on a 1-year contract.
Well, and you know, why not even going back to the well with Seattle and trying to pull them
away? If you could find somebody, you know, I'm sure Seattle would gladly give you, you know, whatever they've got hanging around left in the outfield. I don't know if they, you know, the tough part, again, is it fits in. I know Gordon's hurt. I don't know the extent of his injury. So, yeah, you know, maybe he could be a key.
Yeah, and as I'm looking up Tampa, Kiermaier, as cool as I think it would be for them to land him, he's signed through 2024. So.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Know, so.
I mean, but then again, you mentioned Jay Bruce is gone next year, is he not?
No, he's got one more year.
I mean, it might not be the end of the world if you had, you know, an outfield with Jay Bruce, Kiermaier, Bryce Harper, and Andrew McCutchen.
Yeah, well, you know, you do have to wonder, you know, how McCutchen's going to come back from this injury. You know, that'll be something to look at.
I don't think he's able to just roll back in there. Full time.
So yeah, you know, and that, you know, that may be the, you know, the big kind of stepping stone there on how they, you know, how or where they decide to go with it. You know, will be his, you know, what they think his rehab's going to be and how long they think it's going to take him to get there. But yeah, I, you know, I want to grab. I don't even know who's playing center field regularly for the Mariners right now with the way the team has kind of fallen apart. Oh, they've been using Malik Smith, who really struggled. So yeah, I don't know if there's a lot of options. You think they could get Ichiro out of retirement and he could finish the season as a Philly?
Yeah. Well, you know, and if they were able to, I didn't realize this. You know, somehow steal Kevin Pillar away from the Giants. He's only in his second year of arbitration.
Oh wow! So, yeah. You know, kind of looking at it, he looked like he might be the. You know, kind of, if they're going to go after a guy, he looks like he might be the guy to kind of target and see who's, see who's out there. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're going to wait and see what they're going to, how this is going to play out or, I don't know what they, what they have in the minors. So, that could be a bigger, a bigger question there is who can you actually find floating around? I don't know. Is there, who is there? Anybody, coming up on free agency that they might be able to grab for the remainder of this year and then not have to work. Because remember, McCutcheon's on a 3-year deal as well. So he's got, two more seasons after that. Where's the free agent list for next year? 2019, 2020. Let's see who's out there as a center fielder. I don't know. All right. Wow. Not a, I guess maybe there are some interesting names. I don't think there's interest in guys like Peter Borges or Gerard Dyson or Austin Jackson. Chris Owings, I did see, is going to be released by the Royals, but I don't know if he's a guy you're looking for every day. Oddly, it's a lot of names we already talked about. Billy Hamilton does have an option for next year, but there's a buyout. Mentioned John Jay, Juan Lagares, and Leonis Martin. The only two guys you and I didn't cover, Dan, was Starling Marte of the Pirates, who has an $11.5 million option for next year or a $2 million buyout. And Adam Jones is on a 1-year deal over there with the Diamondbacks.
I was actually going up the list to see. I mean, you mentioned Adam Jones, and then they also have Gerard Dyson, who's unrestricted next year, and his salary is only $3.5 million.
Yeah, so you know, I know Arizona did just get David Peralta back. You know, so he's healthy. You got to wonder if maybe, maybe they would look that out. They would consider, trying to get, I guess you'd probably take, depending on, if money not in place, you take Jones over Dyson, right? Because he's actually having a pretty good year. But, yeah, there's not a ton of, not a ton of options on guys, where their contracts are coming due here. I know your guy Melky hits the free agent market again, but he can't play center field. Brett Gardner's in the last year of his deal, but I don't think the Yankees are moving him. Adam Eaton's got an option. Do you think the Nationals would consider in division? With the year they're having?
I mean, possibly, but, me? No, I wouldn't make that move.
Well, You know, then you know, there is Carlos Gomez. You know, he's back in the majors with the Mets. You know, the interesting one, Dan, and I'm under the impression he could play center field. You know, our guy Yasiel Puig hit the free agent market. You know, he could be quite an acquisition for just, you know, the remainder of the year. You know, obviously, he has the talent to play center field.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, could him and Bryce Harper get along?
That's a clown question, bro.
So that means no?
Nah, I don't think so.
So, yeah, you know, that could be interesting. I mean, I still think, you know, if you're the Marlins, he's your number one target, and if you actually want to try to build a franchise there, you know, you bring him on as your star player and market the hell out of that community down there. But I'm under the impression they're too stupid to do that. But we'll see. Lots of questions now with the Phillies, and I know if they're they're not careful, they got beat by the Padres last night. You know, Manny Machado hit a grand slam in that game. I believe if they lose tonight and the Braves win, the Phillies actually fall out of first place. So I don't know if. How they feel about that. It's obviously still in early June, but you know they've been kind of controlling things, and you know, they seem to have hit a bit of a downfall here. I mean, they lost five in a row. You know, the Dodgers pitching really just shut them down, which appears to be what Dodger pitching does. So you know that's worked out, but yeah, I don't know. It's still too early for them to panic, though, right? They don't have to worry too much.
No, I don't think they have to worry too much, but I still think they need to, get a move on and start, thinking about what's the next move they're going to make here.
Yeah, well, you know, I do think they would be the perfect landing spot for Craig Kimbrel. You know, with David Robertson hurt and that back end of the bullpen could be a gigantic ad for them if they want to go that route. Maybe they could wait on center field a little bit and see if Halsey works out or Henry works out. You know, they could always kind of address that in a month or so with the trade deadline. But I think, yeah, if you could plug Kimbrel into the back, you know, and get him worked up and worked in. And I mean, you know, don't you think, Dan, at this point, if you sign Kimbrel, he's your first guy out of the bullpen to see what he can give you and get him ready to close. You know, even if it's the fifth inning, you get him up and you get him going.
What team are we talking about?
Well, really any team, but, you know, just whenever he signs.
I mean,
if he signs,
you know, that
he's going to be open. I don't think they're going to sign him. So.
That's kind of where I was going, because, I mean, even the other day, the Yankees used it. The Angels used it. I mean, all it did was give them an extra inning to give up six runs.
Well, you know, like it was funny that the Angels used it yesterday and they followed it with Trevor Cahill, who's a legitimate starting pitcher. So that's just it just makes so little sense. You know, that you can't send your starter out there and let him do his five or six innings. I mean, it's not like the opener is going one inning and then the starter is coming in and going the next eight. Because then I could see it being legitimate. But, you get your starter to come in and he lasts four or five innings. He's really not even a starter. He's just another reliever at that point. But yet, you know, it's like, oh, look at the opener. He got three outs. Well, yeah, no kidding. Most people get three outs in the first inning. Is it really life-changing that it's a guy who can only pitch one inning?
No, I mean, good for them, they did it. But to me, I think it was a total loss.
You know, anything to demean the game a little bit is where they seem to be at this point. If it bucks tradition, you know, some sabermetric guy can get behind it, it's the greatest thing that ever happened to baseball. But, you know, that's kind of how it works. So. But yeah, now I wanted to double check this because I wanted to run this by you. Now I know we talked about this when it first happened, and you made some good points. You know, the Dodgers, they stuffed good old Julio Urias on the inactive list because I forgot. Do you remember what he was charged with? It was suspicion of something. Was it domestic violence?
No, he wasn't even charged.
Right. Well, that's what it boiled down to. They investigated it, and he was arrested. Yes, so suspicion of domestic violence, placed on administrative leave May 13th. So now they're not going to charge him. They've decided there's no crime committed, and this guy basically lost a month of his season just because he was accused of something. How fair is that to this guy, Dan? I mean, we're talking about a young guy who, still really in the developmental stages of his career, and now, he's basically a month behind everybody else. He'll probably end up going back to the minors. I can't see the Dodgers bringing him back and adding him to the bullpen, all because he was just accused of something that he turned out not to do.
Well, the old adage.
You're what, that he's guilty until he's actually proven innocent? So.
Better safe sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, it is interesting here, the prosecution, which is the L.A. city attorney, they're saying that they're going to defer it for 52 weeks. And as long as Urias is on good behavior because he has no criminal record, they won't charge anything. But somehow, Dan, and I'm kind of baffled by this, but it apparently was a domestic battery with no physical injury to the person who was battered.
So how is that battery?
I don't know. I'm assuming there's a definition of it. My guess in today's society, yelling at somebody is probably considered battery. And then when they go on to this, the woman, and they don't identify the woman in the altercation, and this is no surprise because this happens quite a bit, but she denied being a victim. So, it's kind of interesting. Now, obviously, the of course, is we're waiting to see if he'll face discipline from Major League Baseball. How do you discipline an innocent guy? I mean, he's already missed a month. Do you really need to discipline him anymore?
Did he miss 30 days?
Well, almost. He went on administrative leave May 13th. And now, it's June 4th, so it's been, 3.5 weeks, 3 weeks?
Yeah, well, no, I was 1, 2, 3, 4, roughly 10 days away. I mean, generally, the punishment for domestic violence is baseball 30 games. But, I would think this is something he should be able to appeal and not even have to serve any portion, because like you said, he already missed 20 days.
Yeah, and the difference between him and some of these other guys is apparently he's innocent. There was enough against Addison Russell and Roberto Ozuna and those kind of guys where they, whether they were found guilty or not, something obviously went on there. This one, it doesn't have the same, smoking guns. And obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know the entire situation. But, there aren't kind of the red flags that were in these other type of situations. So I really think this is enough of a punishment for him. And especially with the fact that I think he's going to end up getting ticketed back to AAA. Isn't that punishment in itself that he's going to lose his Major League roster spot?
Pretty much. I figure if he does go down to AAA, it'll be roughly 10 days, 2 weeks. You figure they're going to want him to make 2 starts.
Right. So, yeah, they're definitely want to get him. Because, again, I mean, I'm sure – I'm sure he's been doing some kind of workouts, or maybe he's in extended spring training or whatever they did with him. But again, you know, you're not facing major league pitching, or really, you know, you're not facing anybody really. So it's a whole different ball game. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I understand, obviously, that, you know, it's a horrible crime, and it's something, you know, they would like to get rid of. But, they've got to find a way to police this better. I mean, just automatically dropping the guy to inactive like that. And I understand, I mean, you had the really good point where with the media the way it is, that's all these idiots are going to want to talk about. You know, they're not going to ask about the game. They're not going to ask anybody about the game. They're going to want to go, well, how does having a guy accused of domestic violence on the team affect you? Well, it doesn't. We're here to play baseball. So, you know.
And, I mean, it's not like there's
they've got to come up with a better system, you know, and especially in a case like this, because it doesn't appear that, and again, you know, you and I weren't there, I don't know the situation, but it doesn't appear like much went down, and I'm wondering if it was just maybe an argument that got out of control and somebody called 911, and you know, once you call 911, it's a whole different ball game. So, I just kind of referencing that I had a friend go through it, and, him and his wife had a fight, and one of the neighbors called the cops, and the cops stopped by and, you know, talked to him, and everything was fine. It was just an argument between a married couple that got a little loud, and, you know, it continued after the cops left, and when they came back a second time, they have a rule where they have to arrest somebody. So he got arrested for what was, you know, misdemeanor domestic violence, or I don't know if they called it battery or what they described it as, but one of them had to be arrested, so he volunteered to go so his wife wouldn't get arrested. And it was just kind of like, oh, okay.
Yeah, which, I mean, in today's world, or the world as it is, worse for the man to do that.
So, yeah. So, you know, the sad part is it went on his record. And, you know, and he actually, when he was applying for some jobs, he lost some jobs because he had this on his record. And, you know, you can't explain that to anybody. You know, all they see is, you know, even though it's a misdemeanor, all they see is the conviction. So. But yeah, I just, again, you know, it's kind of like, man, I don't know if there's a better way. I just wish there was a better way to deal with these athletes when it comes to this. And, you know, it's just like this guy paid for 3 weeks of his Major League Baseball career that it looks like he probably didn't have to, you know, and I know Odubel Herrera's going through the same thing. Now, I don't know his situation. So, you know, I don't want to comment on that, but, you know, hopefully they did a better job of, or they do a better job of investigating. And it's just kind of not like, oh yeah, okay, you didn't do anything wrong, go back and play your game.
Yeah. But I mean, with everything being so public now, the backlash that the team and the league will get regardless of the situation, just they forget to do it that way.
No, you know, I know, and I understand it, that's why they, you know, they do it this way, but it's just, you know, I just wish there was a better way they could handle it. And again, I don't have the answer. I wish I had the answer, but you know, apparently may not have done anything. You know, but it cost him 3 weeks of the season because he was accused of doing something.
Yeah, but I mean, if police were called, then it's enough to warrant the, you know, the situation. So it comes down to more so that prior to, you know, even if you went back to the early 2000s, any professional athlete, you know, would normally get away with any of this stuff. And I think that's part of the issue of why they are so protective now.
Yeah, I get it. I just always feel bad when it turns out that, it was wrong, basically. So,
yeah, I mean, but you can't change it. And I mean, you know, with the public eye being on everything, I mean, you know, if this were a politician, what happens to the politician? 3 days later, their resignation papers come in. So,
well,
you know, I mean, it's,
you know, to be fair, how many politicians are actually innocent?
Yeah, well, you know, I know that's apples and oranges, but my point is with the public, them being public figures, you know, the backlash is just that much worse. And then there's the old adage of, well, it's an athlete and he makes a lot of money, and since he's on a popular, especially like the Dodgers, they're just going to get away with it and push it under the rug, which is kind of what Roger Goodell was trying to do with Ray Rice. And I'm not going to put the whole blame on Roger Goodell, but, you know, between Ray Rice and Ray Rice's now wife, I mean, I think that's where it all goes back to. And unfortunately, the way that situation was handled wasn't just a backlash on the NFL. It sent the waves through the entire, you know, sports world.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know that really, that really went the, you know, the that was really the kickoff point for, you know, for everything, was the Ray Rice thing. And to be fair, you know, nobody knew how to handle it then. You know, I mean,
no.
At the time there were people who thought the punishment was acceptable, you know, and I mean, in the end, it ended his career, so people got what they wanted anyways, you know. So.
No, I mean, you know, in fairness or not, you know, Roger Goodell tried to go it the old way and, you know, try to just hush it. And unfortunately, which I still think is part of an illegal practice that isn't illegal, was the fact that the New Jersey police or whoever's jurisdiction that was, wasn't provided the surveillance tape. But who was provided it? Oh, a former attorney who used to stand outside of a freaking building interviewing people on what they thought of people's court. Yeah, isn't that interesting how he gets the tape and not the police?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah, well, you know,
while that,
you know,
that situation was messed up from Ray Rice's end, I mean, there's that other end of it, too, that we don't even talk about. Oh, let's just forget about that. The police didn't charge Ray Rice. They didn't do anything. They didn't have the video. Yet, surprisingly, TMZ is able to get access to that, you know, along with Jay-Z getting slapped in the face by his sister-in-law and, you know, whatever else they kind of come up with. That's the part I don't understand.
So, yeah, it's just always, a tough situation. You got to get it right, and it's hard to get it right. So I understand why they, you know, they do the things they do and the way they do it. But, you know, in cases like this, it just, it stinks. So.
Yeah, and it does. And it does bring up the double standard like you mentioned when this first came about a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that the LA, is it the Sparks? You know, that basketball player, I'm not going to differentiate between sex, but that professional basketball player had a domestic violence incident with her significant other and then pulled a gun out and somebody else. I mean, and what did you say that? I think she just got re-signed and, you know.
Yeah.
Back on their Wheaties box. I don't know. I'm being sarcastic on that one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but it's the level of popularity.
So, you know, but the team was fully aware of it and looking into it.
Yeah.
So. You know, just kind of how that goes. But, you know, again, I don't think you can fix it, but maybe.
No, and there really is no way to fix it. And the way that it should be fixed is that this should be a lesson to Urias.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, like you said, there was no bodily injury. But, you know, this same thing happened with Aroldis Chapman. He didn't physically, as far as we know, harm his fiance, I believe it is. But he did go off and shoot a gun in his garage, which, you know, I'm sure where he's from was not a real big deal. I think he's from the Dominican. But in South Florida, I mean, shoot, you don't want to do anything in Florida, to be honest. You can go to jail for life for some things in Florida. It's a pretty damn strict state down there. But, you know, how many more incidents have we seen out of Chapman? Zero.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's not a problem.
So
when I did hear somebody mention with the Odubel Herrera thing, and again, I haven't looked into it, so I don't know what the accusations really are against him, but somebody mentioned that they thought it might have been a cultural difference because apparently whatever he did may have been acceptable where he's from, and to be fair, I don't even know where that is. I didn't look into it. I just remember hearing this comment the other day. So, you know, that can be tough for these guys. You know, you know, not that it makes it right, but, they come from places where it's different.
Well, and, I mean, don't forget however many moons ago when the Cubs had that great lineup of Alfonso Soriano and Aramis Ramirez, you know, during that time period or era was when Mike Vick was getting busted for the dog fights. And, you know, what were our favorite Cubs doing in the offseason down in, I don't remember if it was PR or DR, but betting, gambling on cockfights.
Yeah.
For the immature ones out there, that's roosters, chickens. So, you know, they weren't doing swords. But, you know, like you said, a cultural difference. You know, one of the things that really makes me wonder, though, you know, like you brought up with the situation, is you even just go back to rap music or pop music in general. And, I mean, the photos of Rihanna after Chris Brown allegedly whooped her really bad, which personally I don't believe because he looks like – at that time he looked like a little punk to me. But, I mean, look at this guy. He's had a monstrous career after that. Break time.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, I'm just hoping – hope of hope that somewhere down the line they find a better way to, you know, to handle it to where it's, you know, I don't know if there's even, you know, if they can maybe investigate something first or, you know, anything to that, you know, that way. But I, you know, again, like I said, I don't know. It's just going to be, you know, kind of a case to case thing. And, in a perfect world, of course, it would all just go away and we wouldn't have to, you know, have to deal with it at all. But sadly, we know that that's never going to happen. So, But yes, I just realized that I have Andrew McCutchen on one of my fantasy teams, so I have to go in and drop the poor guy and try to find a replacement, because that just makes me sad. So we shall see how this goes. Of course, as you guys know, with my, you know, my internet connection, this is never easy to do, because for you know, I'm guessing there's just too many people where I'm at. Cause yeah, I can't, you know, things just kind of take forever to do for me. And I'm guessing everybody is on the same Wi-Fi with everything. And it just, you know, it just messes everything up, and, you know, all that fun stuff. And then I have J. Mark Candelaria, who's hurt, and I have to ship him off to the DL. And, I didn't even realize he was hurt. Does anybody know what happened to him? Where's Dan when I need him, so I can find out what happened to J. Mark Candelaria? So, because yeah, I, you know, just makes it more fun to try to figure out what the heck I got going on with my team here. But we shall see. And you know, I know Buster Posey is banged up again, so. I think they just have him listed as day to day, though. I don't believe they've completely IL'd him now. I have to remember the term there. You know, when he gets on the IL, so we shall see. But I know, you know, I know we had some games, you know, games firing up. So you know, you can get out. I think the White Sox. I believe Ronaldo Lopez is pitching against his former team, the Washington Nationals, so you could, you know, you can check that out. Hopefully he has a follow-up start like Lucas Giolito had. That would be pretty interesting, huh? But, you know, other than that, I'm trying to think what the heck else is going on. I saw, you know, the NFL has their mandatory mini camps opening, so, you know, I saw, like, you know, Odell Beckham is going to report after skipping out on, you know, OTA, you know, the optional ones. And of course, you know, Le'Veon Bell managed to report. It's always kind of humorous that when you get to the point where it's going to start to take money away from these guys, that they show up. So, but yeah, we'll see if in the end it makes any kind of, you know, any kind of difference. I know I was a little surprised when, Freddie Kitchens came out, the Browns' new head coach, and mentioned that Beckham missed a lot by not going to, you know, the optional training camp. You know, most guys are just kind of, you know, they don't really say anything to that effect. But, yeah, he actually spoke up and, you know, was kind of like, hey, yeah, you know, we could have used him here, or blah, 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 and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, that's not what I was expecting to hear out of a out of a head coach when it comes to that thing, because I don't believe like anything was mentioned about Le'Veon Bell not going to you know, which was no surprise, you know, about Le'Veon Bell not going to the Jets optional mini camp. I'm sure they probably expected him not to show up. You know, that's just something he does. So I don't know. It just kind of, it'd be kind of interesting to see how all these guys shake out. And, you know, obviously a lot of buzz around those two teams with what went on in the off season. You know, obviously Cleveland, you know, made the big trade for Odell Beckham, and, you know, they did end up signing Kareem Hunt. I don't remember how many games he's got to miss. It might be six, you know, cause he's on the suspended list for his domestic violence issue, which we have on tape. So we know what he did. But yeah, you know, so the, you know, there's a lot of people on that bandwagon, not as many on the Jets bandwagon. I think there are people who think they'll be improved, but I don't see a bunch of people like jumping on being the, you know, being like, oh yeah, they're going to the playoffs, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that type of thing. So we'll, you know, we'll have to wait and kind of see how, you know, how that plays out or how that shakes out for them. But yeah, you know, it's always, I don't know, at this point, I don't even know if I could call it interesting to, you know, to where they're at, but you know, I mean, who knows, maybe it'll be, you know, be of some interest down the road, or, you know, Bell obviously draws the interest because he was gone all of last year, you know, which makes it, you know, one of those things where you're looking going, well, hey, how's he gonna, you know, how's he gonna manage to bounce back from this? And, you know, we'll have to see how, you know, how that goes or how it plays out for him. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to remember if a guy has came back from a full season out and been great again. I mean, obviously I know, you know, Adrian Peterson did it, you know, but he was injured. This was basically by choice. You know, this was all, you know, kind of like, hey, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do this. So we'll, you know, we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens there. There we go. So, all right. Oh, hey, hi.
who are you talking about?
So, yeah, I was just kind of talking about, you know, it's time for football training camp to open.
Yeah,
so
well, you're talking about,
you know,
a player who's been out for a year.
Oh, I was talking about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. You know, I had to see Uncle Bob last night, and he's getting to the point where he will not even – he's been turning off all the national media. He said he no longer watches Good Morning Football or that show on the NFL Network. He likes Mike Fiorio, but he's getting tired of everybody. And and I want to get your impression, because I know you're not – you're obviously I was going to say Mariners Seahawks fan, but I know you still have a small rooting interest in the Bears. And his biggest gripe lately, and he might attest to this, is the fact that the National doesn't talk about the Bears at all. They just pretty much have written them off and don't think they're going to – they think they're going to regress. And are you in that same boat? I mean, I thought they were still on a up and up. I didn't see anything that would tell me that they were going backwards.
Well, first, I can agree with your Uncle Bob. I no longer watch Good Morning Football either. Sadly, that's not by choice for me, though, as UVerse has taken the NFL Network away from me. So I don't believe my bill actually lowered when they took the station away from me. But, yeah, I no longer get that, and I no longer get the Pursuit channel, which means even if I wanted to watch Impact Wrestling, I couldn't. So I've got that going against me. But, yeah, I haven't heard a lot yet about the Bears nationally. And, I think a lot has to do with the fact that there just wasn't a lot of turnover. You know, the only thing they really did was, they had to get a new defensive coordinator. But other than that, there weren't really – you know, any moves for them.
Well, that is his second biggest gripe, though. Before we run out, I just want to throw this one real quick. Second biggest gripe was the fact that they're pretty much not writing off the NFC Central, but really downplaying it. He's like, I don't understand. You've got probably one of the stronger divisions, and you've got a division that has five national games, more than anybody in the entire league. You know, the Monday nights, Sunday nights, Thursday nights.
Well, you're going to have to remember this for tomorrow, and we can complicate your life. So it'll give me a chance to agree with you and have them look like football, but this is definitely going to run away. Now, we're going to go back to my side of the business, but this is going to give you a lot more advice. WorkTimeRadio.com, but while you're there, hit the link and follow it over to Facebook. Don't forget to come up with you to get back to your radio. And, of course, you know, head on over to what else is going on? Oh, yeah, I think the Twitter feed. Don't forget the Twitter feed to get the next sports video. There's only two or three minutes you have on my phone. We'll play along with it. But it's always good. Put it in the line. But if you do, I don't even know why.
Roll.